Hey there, before we get started on this week's episode, I would love to ask for your support by reviewing this podcast. We want to share yoga with as many people as possible, and this free resource, this podcast, is one of the ways that we can do that. And the best way that you can help support us is by giving us a review. So if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever podcast platform you use, scroll down until you find that star review and then give us some love. Thank you so much, and let's get started with this week's episode.
So when you think of infusing your being with love and kindness and friendliness, that's what we're doing in the practice. So we're cultivating it and we're being infused by it so that we are transformed and shifted. And I really love that translation. And we could use it really in this world today so much. It's one of the most powerful practices. I think a lot of people think of meditation as being focus and concentration and silencing the mind. And yeah, there's definitely practices like that, and there's definitely a purpose for those. But I think most people that I encounter that live in Western worlds, really anywhere in the world, truly today, what we often struggle with is keeping our hearts open and really truly seeing other people as human beings and humanizing the situation and having compassion and tapping into our love and letting our love transform whatever resentments and hate or bitterness or fear and insecurities living there.
Welcome to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. If you love yoga as much as I do, then this podcast is for you. We talk all things yoga related for teachers in order to supplement and complement and even support after a 200-hour yoga teacher training. Or if you've never done a training before, this podcast is all about just learning more about yoga in an authentic way. Together with Paul Teodo and Byron de Marseille, we put together this podcast to provide you with a free resource to learn more about yoga. Whether you want to share yoga or teach yoga or just practice yoga, this podcast is talking all things yoga related. And we're trying to talk from the teacher's perspective and also the student's perspective to make sure we get a full 360-degree angle on what yoga is all about and how it's evolved in the modern world. Welcome to our podcast. All right, welcome back to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. Michael here. And today we have another guest on the episode. Really exciting returning guest, Leah Santa Cruz, is with us today. Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, always happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome back. It's exciting to have you back. It's been a while, I think, probably a few months since you've been on the podcast. And before we talked about modern meditation, not sure exactly which episode that was, but I think it was in the 80s, 90s region. And then also we did, I think it was meditation for helping with relationships, talking about relationships, which was really cool. So if you haven't listened to those ones, definitely check those out. We'll have them in the show notes, the specific actual episode numbers. Otherwise, for today, we're thinking about talking about loving kindness meditation. And then going into that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, have you ever tried it?
I don't remember. I feel like I learned it in my teacher training briefly. And then, yeah, it's almost like it's not there anymore. Like, I don't remember it. So I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. It's like we're blank slate here.
Yeah. So before
most people, that's the case.
Before we go into it, maybe just a quick introduction of who you are, just in case this is the first time people are hearing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, my name's Leah, and I am a meditation teacher, and I've been living here in Bali now for the last, coming on 7 years, and teaching meditation for going on 11 years now. And prior to that, I worked in business and tech. I have a background studying in psychology, and, you know, I have always been really fascinated by the intersection between science and spirituality and East meets West understandings, and really how can we reverse engineer practices that help people in the modern day that live in the world that have relationships and busy lives and lots of demands. How can we reverse engineer those tools that were used in ancient ways for people nowadays? Because there really does need to be a little bit of a shift in some of the attitudes and approaches that we take when we're not, you know, a monk living in the Himalayas 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, a little bit of evolution of change. Yeah, that's great.
But one of these ancient practices that I absolutely love, even in its more original form, is loving kindness. Actually, traditionally, it's called Metta Bhavana. Some people just call it Metta for short. That's from the ancient Pali language. And Metta means love or friendliness or kindness. There's different translations for it. And less of the romantic love and more of the love that you have for anyone, really. It could be family. It could be a child. It could be, you know, a romantic partner, but it's less referring to that erotic kind of love and more about the bond that we get with other human beings when we open our heart and love another person. And then bhavana has a couple different translations. Usually you'll hear the translation is cultivation. So cultivation of love and kindness and friendliness. Another translation that I love is bhavana equaling to infuse, to be infused by. So you think of like a tea infusion, right? Where you have this, you have this tea bag where you have the tea in a little tea holder, and then you pour hot water in and you infuse the tea with the hot water, and no longer is it now water. It's become infused by this new substance, this new flavors. And it was is forever changed. You can't separate it now. Mm-hmm. So when you think of infusing your being with love and kindness and friendliness, that's what we're doing in the practice. So we're cultivating it and we're being infused by it so that we are transformed and shifted. And I really love that translation. Mm-hmm. And we could use it really in this world today so much. It's one of the most powerful practices. I think a lot of people think of meditation as being focus and concentration and silencing the mind. And yeah, there's definitely practices like that, and there's definitely a purpose for those. But I think most people that I encounter that live in Western worlds, really anywhere in the world, truly today, what we often struggle with is keeping our hearts open and really truly seeing other people as human beings and humanizing the situation and having compassion and tapping into our love and letting our love transform whatever resentments and hate or bitterness or fear and insecurities living there. So, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today that we're all privy to. Unless you've been hiding in a box somewhere or you're a Balinese person who lives very clueless about what's happening in the rest of the world. I've met quite a few of those. They're ignorance is bliss kind of thing. But, you know, we see the wars going on and the heartbreaking grief that we're dealing with. And where is this all coming from? It's coming from fear and hatred. It's even less, if you really dig down the hatred, it's more fear underneath. And, you know, something that you can hear many sages of the past say, that whether it's Osho, Sadhguru, etc., that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. And so when I look at these wars happening today and I see on both sides just so much travesty, so much tragedy and horror, we can really just trace it back to people's deep-rooted fear. And so if we want to overcome that fear and really, really make a change in our world, we need to learn how to cultivate love individually and as a collective in our communities towards one another. So I don't think there's a whole lot better practices out there today than something like Metta Bhavana.
Mm. Now I feel a little inadequate that I haven't known it up until very well up until this point.
I shouldn't, though, because
that's the exact opposite
it's
practice.
It's talked about often. Right. It's not a commonly. It stems from Buddhist traditions, thousands of years old. But again, it's not the most popular kinds of meditation out there. People don't really think about this kind of meditation. But it's something that as human beings, we naturally do know how to do. I mean, think about little babies coming into this world. They're just pure love, right? They're a blank slate. They haven't been hurt yet. They haven't had their heart broken. They haven't been shamed or blamed. You know, they haven't experienced the rejection, hopefully. And so we can see these little beings come into the world with like this pure love vibration, this pure essence. And it's only through our lives and disconnections and neglect or separation or traumas that we experience that, I mean, you know this as someone who is really versed in trauma, but like how much we hold in our bodies and we hold in our fascia and our connective tissue and our nervous system, all these samskaras, all the pains of our past, unless we go through practices of releasing them. But so much of that gets, I feel, held in the heart, and we create this block to love. We create a barrier to love, and you can see that in attachment theories, right? We talk about anxious attachment and avoidant attachment and disorganized attachment as being outcomes of people who endured environments in their childhood that were less than loving and supportive in the ways that they needed. And I myself grew up with attachment disorder through separation from my parents at some points, and lots of chaos and, you know, challenges at home. And I've had to learn, and I still do constantly, to remind myself to keep my heart open and to not close off and to not run away when things get hard and to not, you know, blame or shame or cut myself off from that source. So this is a practice I have to come back to again and again.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they even have a, excuse me, even if they're aware, if they're not aware of it yet, like aware of like their heart being closed. I mean, they might, people are usually familiar with feeling like they're trying to protect themselves or they don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Which is basically the translation of that. But it's like, how do you, what's the step for them? Like, how do you help them?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing is somewhat of a loving kindness meditation could be something.
Right. It's a microcosm of a macrocosm. When we practice a meditation practice, we're training ourselves to be able to take that skill into our world, into our life, into our relationships where we need it the most. And so we're training our mind and body and our hearts to be able to access that in meditation so that we can access it more easily when the going gets tough and we're met with a difficult situation or a challenging person. And then that's when the real test is. Can I use these? I've been practicing this. I can tap into it more easily.
Right.
You know, it's funny you said that, protecting the heart. You probably know this too. You see people walking around like kind of hunched over, like literally.
Yeah. Shoulders routing forward.
Protecting their heart. Mm-hmm. Like the posture of like really pulling the shoulders back and opening the heart, like those heart opening asanas are also such a great companion to this metta bhavana, a lot of kindness practices. So it actually is really something, once you know the cues of the meditation, you could even infuse a bit of that into a yoga practice. And when you have people in those heart-opening postures to send some loving wishes out to the world or to themselves and just see, see that energy move,
yeah,
and break up some of those blockages.
Yeah, doing some of the physical movements and, you know, combined with emotional awareness or...
But be prepared. If you're a teacher doing that, you will get some tears.
Yeah.
But they're good tears. It's the good kind of tears. It's like, wow, I haven't felt my heart so long like this. It's so healing and beautiful. And that's the word that gets said to me again and again. Wow, that was beautiful. Like, I didn't know I needed that so much. So essentially, it's a pretty simple practice. And it's something that I really guide people through as one of the techniques that we do in the meditation teacher training, Modern Instincts Meditation Teacher Training that I run every year. And it's one of the primary techniques that we dive into. But as a high level, traditionally it's done with five parts. And that is, you first invoke visualization or a symbol or an idea or an image of yourself. Now, it can be done different ways. Sometimes people envision themselves as a little child first and then as their adult current version. Or you can just straight up visualize yourself as you are in this moment. And the thing that you want to do then is cultivate or be infused with the sensation, the feelings of love and compassion and kindness, that friendliness. So that's where we have to really dig a little deeper, because it's not just, okay, I'm visualizing myself and I'm saying these words without any meaning or any feeling to them. It's like, no, the whole point is to cultivate the feeling, to really feel it there. And I say there, meaning our heart, because that's where we tend to radiate it from. That's the heart chakra, the anahata. So traditionally, it's done by starting with yourself. And I find that to be a bit challenging for many people, because for many people, giving love to ourselves is the hardest one.
Yeah.
So
or even just cultivating the feeling of love, yeah. Especially if you don't, you know, you're kind of like holding that away or you're kind of avoiding that. So like you're probably going there, but my question is like, how do you help guide that?
Yeah. Well, you do it through offering wishes to yourself. So like personally, I save sending loving kindness wishes to yourself until the very end of the meditation. Mm-hmm. But traditionally it's done in the beginning. But I personally do it at the end. But I imagine for me, what tends to work well is I imagine myself as like the tender parts of me, the parts that need it the most. And that might be imagining like a little girl within me, and where you can think of an inner child. Because we all have our inner child within us, even as our adult version of ourselves. And you could think of it as like our subconscious mind, which it doesn't know time. It doesn't know the difference between when I was 5 years old and now that I'm 39 years old. It can't tell time. Like it just, it's timeless. But it can be holding on to fears and insecurities and things that happened in my childhood and not realize that, hey, maybe I'm an adult now that has resources and other things available to me, so we don't have to be so protective. So I tend to like feel into those parts that are tender within myself and kind of imagine it like a little girl. And that's what I do personally. But other people find what works best for them visually. Mm-hmm. And
so the visualization, like imagining a time or a place or something like this, maybe a memory, is that sometimes helpful as well?
Exactly. Like a little snapshot. Like I think of this picture that my mom took of me when I was a kid playing in the front yard, all wet in the sprinkler, the hose, you know, and I think about that photo sometimes as like this little 5-year-old girl. And I just want to love on her and see her as like, you know, as this innocent being that could just use tenderness and love. And I start to take on this, what would it feel like to be a loving parent to that little girl, to myself? And as a parent now, I can easily tap into the love that I have for my son. So I try to go, what if I could have that same love and care towards myself? And so sometimes maybe if it's too difficult to give the love to yourself right away, you might start with the inner child, or you might start with another being that you love and just say, can I transfer that same feeling to myself? And that can be really powerful. And then you send loving wishes. And now that can be...
So is that the third stage phase? Just so I'm structurally kind of following along. Okay. This will help my brain.
So there's... I'll kind of start from scratch. We got five phases, and there's five different groups or people that you're sending loving kindness to. Traditionally, you start with yourself, and then you go to a friend or someone that you care about that brings you joy or that's easy to kind of naturally feel the love for. Mm-hmm. And then you go to someone that's more neutral, like maybe someone that served you food at a restaurant or, you know, you saw walking by and smiled at, just a neutral person who you don't have necessarily strong feelings for or strong negative feelings for. And then you go to a challenging person, someone you maybe have had some difficulties with or you had some tension with recently. Better to avoid going into to picture someone that you've had severe trauma with. That is usually better done with a therapist in like a more safe setting where you can be, you know, supported by someone right there to avoid re-traumatizing yourself. But if it's like, say, someone that you just had some challenges with, you know, maybe a manager or an employee or just like someone that's kind of ruffled your feathers, start off there. Eventually, you might work your way up to those more and more challenging people. And then the fifth one is sending loving kindness to all beings, all sentient beings in the lands, on the in the seas, in the skies, in the whole universe, all the humans, all the creatures, all the ones who need it. That one gets me too, pretty hard. So how I do it is I start with the friend, the one that's easiest to bring love to, or just someone you care about. And then I go to a neutral person. And that's interesting, right? Because we start off with this easy cultivation of love, like really tapping into the feeling in our heart towards that other being. I pictured them. I see them clearly in my mind's eye, maybe their favorite outfit, their smile, their eyes. I can really start, I might even hear their laugh and just really see them and start right away. I'll start to feel like warm feelings of connection with them. It's easy to tap into that at that moment. And then I'll say some loving wishes to them. So first I visualize them. I feel the connection in my heart towards them. And then speaking from thy heart, really feeling the words, I will send them some loving wishes. And you can say whatever wishes you want that resonate with you. I really like these traditional ones of, may you be happy. I don't just say it, the words. I really feel the words. Like I really feel my desire for them to be happy. May you be happy. And I'll wait till I really feel it. And then I'll go to the next one. May you be healthy. May you be free from pain. And may you live your life with ease. Or some other variation of it. It could be, you know, may you love and be loved. That's a really good one that I love. And so once you've sent those wishes, you can do it once, you can do it twice. I like to take a breath in, feel all the love I've cultivated, and on the exhale, and let the image of that person go. And then I bring up the image of a neutral person. Okay. I can think of someone that's neutral. Don't really know them well, but I can picture them, their eyes, their face. And now it's a stretch for me because I didn't have strong feelings toward them. So I need to apply that same love towards this person now, or that same level of acceptance of compassion. And practice sending them wishes. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be free from pain. And may you live your life with ease. Then I'll take a breath and let the image of that person fade away, as though just sending them off with those wishes. Now comes the part where we bring up someone that's challenging to us. So that difficult person in your life recently. So right away, we might start to feel contraction, like the heart wants to close again. It's like, uh-oh, I don't know if I'm safe sending this person love, or I can't feel love for this person. That's fine. We don't have to jump to love, but can we jump to just compassion? So for me, I like to think of if I need additional help here, it's maybe I can see this person as a human being, just like me, that has their own fears, their own insecurities, their own failures in the past, things they're running from. Maybe this person is doing the best that they can with what they know how to, just like me. And doesn't mean I have to condone their actions or behaviors, but I can have compassion for the fact that probably just like me, they only want to be happy and healthy and free from pain and to be loved. So can I tap into a little bit of forgiveness or compassion here? And then keeping my heart open as much as possible, visualize them and visualize sending them those same wishes. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be free from pain. And may you love and be loved. Take a breath and send them away with those wishes. And now move on to picturing all of the people in your life, all of your community, family, friends, but even greater, all of the sentient beings on this planet, in this universe, in the land and the seas, all those beings who could use it today, who may be suffering. May you be happy. May you be healthy. Really send those wishes and connect with those words. May you be free from pain. May you live your life with more ease. And may you love and be loved. So I like to imagine just taking my arms open and wrapping them around the whole planet, around all those people, and taking a breath in and exhale, sending that love out all across the planet. And then digging those arms and bringing them right back into herself, sensing that inner child within us, that part of us that needs to hear it today. Maybe we've been hard on ourselves or neglected parts of ourselves. Maybe just we haven't spent time just sending ourselves love. So can we do that now? Can we bring that same level of appreciation, compassion, forgiveness, and kindness here? May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be free from pain. May you live your life with more ease. And may you love and be loved. And take a breath in now. And just feel that love just circulating within you and around you. And when you're ready, you come back. And it's not uncommon to have tears or to feel new sensations. Sometimes we sense old wounds pop up or sadness, grief. You know, a lot of times the grief that we carry towards what's happening in the world or the suffering in the world is really, we go deeper through that, we feel that it comes from this deep well of love. And so we're tapping into that well of love, and sometimes that means bursting through some of that grief and sadness. So we might have waves of release in this kind of practice where tears come out, shaking or size, energy wanting to move. It's all good signs. And if you struggle with feeling anything, that's also a sign that this is a great practice to keep coming back to again and again. And it doesn't have to be a long practice. That just took us a few minutes. But a few minutes very powerfully connecting to that heart chakra, to that transformative power of love. And it gives us something we can do in a world where we might feel powerless to making a change on a greater scale. When there's so many things out of our control, when we feel our voice isn't being heard, where we don't know what to do, or maybe we can't have a conversation with that person. Maybe they're not emotionally mature enough to handle it, or we're not ready yet. So this gives us something that we can do to transform that resentment and fear within ourselves. And, you know, hopefully we are leaving a ripple effect and impact. They say that when big groups of people get together and meditate at the same time, when there's a large enough group that does that, I think, I can't remember the exact number, a couple thousand, maybe it was less. Overall rates of crime, violent crime, go down on the planet simultaneously. So that can't be a coincidence. It's happened over and over again. So perhaps through doing practices like this and maybe getting enough people together to like say, hey, let's practice sending some love to the people who could use it right now, to ourselves, to everyone, we can start to be that change and we can start to see it affect and perhaps impact the very people who we bring to mind. We don't know for sure, but I feel it.
Excuse me. That was good. I eventually dropped in there and it was like, oh. Yeah, I started to feel like I was having a hard time with, like, I don't know what I was having a hard time with, but it was working because I could feel my eyes starting to, like, you know, water a little bit, and it wasn't like intense, but it was just like, oh, I'm tapping into something here.
Yeah.
And the language that comes to my mind, my left brain sciency, is like the frequency of my body, my cells, just my overall being, is being shifted and adjusted. I could feel my body softening, you know, I would say grounding maybe a little bit. It just felt like it was like kind of maybe releasing, but it's a softening is probably the right word. And then I just started to think about like, this is it's a simple practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had lots of people on the podcast that talk about like trauma, and people are always asking like, how do I fix my trauma? And like, what do I do? And like all these intense modalities like breath work or psychedelics or, you know, deep therapy work versus, you know, this simple little practice feels like it's almost just kind of at the minimum scratching the surface. Like you said, you might not necessarily feel a lot, but I'm sure it's, you know, peeling a layer to some degree. And because it's such a simple practice that you can do on your own and you don't need anything.
Yeah.
It's such a valuable tool that, again, I feel a little inadequate that I only am learning about it. Not learning about it, but like officially like downloading it into my space now. And also seeing how this can be really beneficial and helpful as a tool in teaching.
Yeah. Man, I think you're in a little back bend or heart opening pose, and you just picture someone you want to send some love to and say, may you be happy, you know, something like that, just like dropping right in.
Yeah.
in a more minimal way, but still effective. And a lot of times people don't know where the emotion's coming from when they're doing it. They're like, wow, I'm surprised by myself how much this unlocked. So yeah, keep at it, keep giving it a shot. And I have some loving kindness meditations in the Balance app, and I also teach it as a primary tool in our meditation training, because I really find it to be one of the most useful ones I've ever encountered and can share with people.
So my next question is about like how, I'm sure there's no limit on how often you can do this, but what would you say is this like a manageable, relatable amount of times to do this, like would be like once a day or like,
well, like let's say you're really going through something currently in the realm of interpersonal relationships or your relationship to the world, I would say do it every day. Do it before you know you're going to have a difficult conversation with someone or you've been having tension with someone. This is one of the best practices to do on your own to prepare you to shift your mindset and your heart to be more open, and you're going to be way more effective in those conversations and more compassionate and less defensive and just so much better. Do this practice beforehand for a couple minutes.
Could it also be before something, let's just say, not necessarily relationship directly, but like, I don't want to say performance, but maybe like a performance or like a public speaking thing?
Yeah. Anytime you've got fear going on, yeah. Right? Because okay. Love is the antidote to fear, which is surprising, right? But when we get back to being in that source of love here, then it really just, it has a way of dissipating and melting the fear that we've been encountering. And we feel so empowered and connected to our voice and to our heart. So, yeah, definitely recommend it whenever you're afraid about something. And even if it doesn't feel like an interpersonal relationship or a difficult conversation, it could be like getting up on stage and leading a talk.
You're about to teach a yoga class.
Yeah.
And you're like new and you're like nervous. And
exactly. Like, what if you showed up there powerfully resonating the frequency of love? Boof. That would be a really awesome class. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be nervous still and make mistakes, but you're resonating love. And people don't remember the mistakes that you made or the words that you said. They remember how you made them feel. So you show up there and you are a force of love. Yeah, that's what people are going to feel. And looking back again, trust me, because everybody wants that. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, it's because it can bring up stuff and really heal and sift through some things that we might have been holding inside. Sometimes people find it not like a daily practice for them to do every single day, but it's really nice to do it a couple times a week just to keep that heartstrings tuned, right? To keep open. And then again, acutely when we need it. Yeah.
Great. Wow. I feel more equipped. I feel like I got a little tool that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Was just right there. Like, you know, some simple tools sometimes that I talk about, like, is the breath. It's, you always have it. You can use it just, you know, connecting with your breath. Mm-hmm. And then obviously this is a little bit more than just that, but it's still simple.
Yeah.
It's still very simple with a little structure. It's very cool.
And you don't have to go through all of the five groups. You know, you can just do it to yourself, or you can just do it for the challenging person. Of course, I find it easier to go through the stages before you get to the challenging person. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you have to do it specifically in any particular order. I mean, I'm a nonconformist, so I like to do things untraditionally at times when it suits what your needs are in that moment.
Right. Yeah, I noticed you did yourself or ourselves last. Is that traditionally? I think you said first.
It's usually done first.
Yeah.
I like to do it at the end.
Yeah. That felt good to me, actually. It was almost like building up so that, you know, even if there was some resistance with like the neutral or the challenging or the global, like, how do I actually do that? But then you get to you and it's almost like, there's just more.
It depends on the person, because some people really like doing it for themselves first, because they're like, oh, I'm filling my cup up first so that I can give out to others.
That's good.
But I think it really depends on your own personal relationship with yourself at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So there's some play there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun. Awesome. You also briefly mentioned the Balance app and your meditation teacher training. So Leia, if you didn't know this, Leia and I basically work with the same school, same yoga school. So she does a meditation teacher training, which I think the dates are May
9th to 26th this year in 2024. But it changes a little bit every year. But it's always here in Bali.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. So if you're interested in that, we'll put that information in the show notes, as well as maybe you can just mention the Balance app just a little bit as well, sure. Because it's new for people.
Yeah, you can find it in the Google Play Store or in the Apple App Store. And it's free for the first year. And there's literally hundreds of meditations in there that I've recorded. I'm the voice and coach on the app, as well as another man named Mofosu. And it's been a big labor of love for the last 4.5 years. So, definitely check it out. It's a lot of good stuff in there.
Amazing. probably some love and kindness in there as well.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For sharing and enlightening my meditation knowledge a little bit further, and also those that have been listening. Is there any other thoughts before we wrap up this related to loving kindness? There's something that came up for me, and maybe you can spin off this. And this is something that was shared with me in a previous podcast with Kat Kibera. And she said it, and I keep saying it like almost every day to new people because I just found it really stuck in my brain, you know, when a sentence sticks with you. And she said she's never met anyone that's been too kind to themselves.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God. I had to like stop the episode being like, oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So this loving kindness is like a practice to maybe try to do that, yeah, right? Try to be too kind to yourself.
How do I do self-love? How do I love myself? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like here's the tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate you. And thank you everyone for listening and tuning in for this week. And we will speak to you next week. Take care.
All right, before you go, let me just tell you about the goingproyoga.com platform. So right now you can go to goingproyoga.com and check it out for free for 7 days, where you can actually learn more about yoga in the ways of alignment, cueing, sequencing, yoga anatomy, so that if you've done a 200-hour teacher training and you want to continue to learn, practice, and grow, this platform is definitely for you. So I definitely suggest checking it out, goingproyoga.com. Right now you can try it out for free for 7 days.